Unprepared to engage Mormon missionaries when they knock on your door? Perhaps the book Mormonism 101 will help. Mormonism 101, published by Baker Book. Available at your favorite Christian bookstore. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue looking at an article written by Mormon blogger Jana Reese, titled, Three Reasons Mormons Don't Know What to Do with the Apostle Paul. And as I mentioned yesterday, Eric, Jana Reese does tend to be a little bit of a rebel because she does use the word Mormon throughout this article that she wrote, which, of course, you're not supposed to do that now as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, since 17th President Russell M. Nelson said that they shouldn't be referring to themselves in such a manner. But she does. And so if she's going to do that, I certainly don't see any problem with us doing that as well, since Russell M. Nelson is not our prophet. But anyway, in this article, she is praising this new curriculum that Latter-day Saints are going to be going through, as she says, for the months of August, September, and October. This would be 2019, where they are going to be studying the writings of Paul. And I certainly am excited that Mormons would be studying the writings of Paul, because I have come across many Latter-day Saints who seem to be oblivious as to what Paul taught on a lot of very important doctrines. We're into the section now where she talks about how Paul had a knockdown fight with Peter and then wrote about it. Now, why is that important? Well, you have to remember the context of this whole article has to deal with what she says is the difficulty that many Latter-day Saints have with the Apostle Paul. She uses this expression, Mormons still don't quite know what to do with that irascible outsider Paul. So that's the context of what she's going to be talking about in this article. Then she talks about, as I said, this knockdown fight with Peter, and then Paul actually writes about this knockdown fight with Peter. This was not something that was done privately. This was something that was done out in the public. It was in a letter that was going to be read to the church and written specifically in the letter to the Galatian church. What does she say?
Paul just wasn't as nice as Mormons are supposed to be. The curriculum rather endearingly and repeatedly glosses over his rough edges. For example, you could read the entire lesson, Walk in the Spirit, and never get the sense that Paul was exceptionally PO'd when he wrote that letter to the Galatians. Paul was a passionate guy. It's like those emails you dash off in the heat of the moment but have the good sense to delete before sending so you don't burn down all your relationships. Well, Paul sent his. It's called the Book of Galatians.
That's interesting. You said PO'd, and that's not really what she wrote, but we're just trying to be kind here on Christian radio. She makes this point, as you just read. Paul was indeed a passionate guy, and he did write what was on his heart. But at the same time, we cannot escape the fact that we also believe that though God allows the individual writer's personality to be in those writings, his writings are still, as we as Christians believe, God-breathed. So it's not just Paul spewing his emotions, but he had a definite problem with the Apostle Peter. Now, you have to understand, in a Mormon context, Peter would be the senior apostle. Paul would be the junior apostle. When you talk about his concerns with Peter, that can be a little bit troubling to the average Latter-day Saint, because they don't look at criticizing leaders at all as something to be praised. So why would Paul talk about this? And that's why I think Jana Reese brings it up. She's going to talk about N.T. Wright. N.T. Wright is an Anglican theologian. If you're not familiar with that name, I'm impressed that Jana Reese is familiar with N.T. Wright, because there's not a lot of Latter-day Saints that read the writings of non-Latter-day Saint scholars. they usually only read what their church tells them to read and to read things that were written by members of the church. But what does she say about N.T. Wright's biography of Paul?
She says it gets into the historical context of this really well, but the basic gist is that Peter appears to have reneged on that lovely ideal he had reluctantly espoused in Acts, the part about Jews and Gentiles living in harmony. Succumbing to outside influences, Peter had recommended observing the old Jewish rule about not sitting at table with the uncircumcised.
What I find fascinating with that paragraph, and if you weren't listening to our previous shows, one thing she says about this curriculum, she refers to it as being a-contextual or anti-contextual. And our criticism is, how can you really understand the writings of Paul if you don't know the context? And it made me think, Eric, Mormons are supposed to read these given chapters during the week, and then they're supposed to come together on Sunday to discuss what they read in a 50-minute class, which certainly is not nearly enough time to discuss the homework that they had, because much of this 50-minute class is going to be devoted to just talking about some of the things each individual thought was important in what they read. So it's not even being instructive, it's just sharing. But she says in this piece that it's a-contextual or even anti-contextual. But she notes N.T. Wright is going to get into the historical context, which, of course, you need the context to understand why Paul was upset with Peter. She goes on to explain why Paul had some problems with this.
She writes, "And Paul, seeing the train wreck the church was about to become if Jews wouldn't eat with Gentiles, called Peter out on it in public in Antioch. Quote, when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned," end quote.
Now, she says in the next paragraph, let's take a moment to digest this. Not only is Paul questioning a major decision of the Christian movement's most prominent leader, he claims he's right to do so because Peter is about to lead the whole church straight to hell. Now, that's an interesting way that she describes this, but when you think about it, she's not far off. But what does she say in the next line?
"This is not in the LDS curriculum, which asked class members to read chapter 2, but only begins the discussion with chapter 3.
Now, let's point out something here. When it comes to this confrontation that the Apostle Paul had with Peter, ask yourself, in light of what Jana Reese has just said, how do you think the Mormon church leadership would explain the confrontation that Paul had with Peter? Well, I'm going to tell you. We have one clear example when a Mormon leader, a member of the first presidency, now it was from the 19th century, I will give you that, but it was Jedediah M. Grant. Jedediah M. Grant gave a talk in 1853 on August 7th, and it was in the Tabernacle. It was titled Uniformity. This is what Jedediah M. Grant had to say about this confrontation mentioned in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11.
"Look, for instance, at Paul and Peter disputing and quarreling with each other, and Paul and Barnabas contending and parting asunder with angry feelings. When Peter came to Antioch, says Paul, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed," etc. Paul does not gain much credit with the Mormons for taking this course. We know he had no right to rebuke Peter. He wanted to boast of rebuking Peter. He thought it was a feather in his cap because he coped with Peter and rebuked him. Had that affair come before a Mormon tribunal, they would have decided in favor of Peter and against Paul. We believe when Paul rebuked Peter, he had in him a spirit of rebellion and was decidedly wrong in rebelling against the man who held the keys of the kingdom of God on the earth.
Now, there's a couple of things to observe in that quotation. One, we have a member of the first presidency referring to members of the LDS Church as Mormons.
Yeah.
That's neither here nor there. But here's the point. Jana Reese correctly notes that what Peter was doing was so wrong that it was going to be an influence on the church to send them in the wrong direction. She uses the expression that it would lead the whole church straight to hell. Well, obviously, Paul thought it was so important that that needed to be addressed. But what we read here in the Journal of Discourses, and this is volume 1, page 346, Jedediah M. Grant, a member of the First Presidency, says that if that had come before a Mormon tribunal, they would have sided with Peter. So even if something was so important that members would be led astray even to the point of going to hell, as Jana Reese says, they would not have done it right. They would have sided with the senior member, which would have been Peter in this case.
Bill, I'm going to give you a scenario. Suppose a 70 rebuked an apostle for something that he taught in the previous general conference. How do you think that apostle is going to take it?
Not very well. In fact, I would almost guarantee you that wherever that was posted would immediately be taken down, and that individual would probably have to make an apology to that leader that he corrected.
With that as the case, let's look at what Peter's response was. We can go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. This is Peter's response to having been reproved by Paul and the teachings of Paul. Listen to what he says. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Bill, what he has just done is say, Paul did the right thing. He says some hard things, and even hard for me, but he's telling the truth. And so he seems to commend Paul for what he did.
I think you're absolutely correct. What we get from that, I think, is that even though Peter was probably momentarily embarrassed by some of the things that Paul wrote about him, and remember, everybody knows this now, from that time forth down to this very day, they know of this rebuke. But it sounds like Peter did not let that rebuke put a strain on his relationship with Paul. He still has glowing terms in reference to Paul, even refers to his writings as being scripture. So for many of you out there that don't think Paul's writing should be elevated to that kind of a level, or perhaps you don't even think Paul should have been an apostle, and I've read articles on the web of people who think that, what do you do with Peter's recommendation? Because obviously he thought that Paul was certainly commissioned by God to write the things that he did. I bring that out because, as Jana Reese says, Paul tells this story in the letter because he sees the Galatian church falling prey to the same kind of message that he rebuked Peter for in the past. And I think she's absolutely correct. But I think what's fascinating is that we get a little bit of a glimpse into the mind of the leadership of the church from this statement that we just read from Jedediah M. Grant. That would not sit very well with the modern LDS church. The question you have to ask yourself is, why not? Well, because I don't think they look at false doctrine as being as important as challenging their authority.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Did you know that this year marks the 40th anniversary of Mormonism Research Ministry? All of us at MRM want to thank those of you who have faithfully supported our efforts to educate the body of Christ about the differences between Mormonism and Christianity, as well as sharing God's grace with the Mormon people. If you would like to give a special anniversary gift to further our efforts here at MRM, simply click the donate button on our homepage at mrm.org. Your support, as always, is greatly appreciated.